This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kate comes from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected, 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Well, we've had plenty of rest.
Plenty of rest.
And we should have plenty to talk about, and we should be perfectly spunky and energetic and just...
Yeah, and our clients have been keeping us very busy.
Yes, they have.
So, the scammers have been working overtime, at least in my neck of the woods.
Yes, everybody needs Christmas money.
Including the scammers.
And they're hitting it hard. As far as I can tell, they're going for some bigger presents than usual this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So,
the name of the show is Geek Speak, and you can call in if you have questions about the content that we're going to be discussing or anything else, even if your printer cable needs to be jiggled, we can walk you through that right in front of everybody. So, 970-963-2976 is our number, and we're going to dig right into it. We both had a close friend who had a relative get scammed over the weekend of all times. I think it was, Friday, I think it was, And so it's kind of like top of mind right now. And, you know, my observation when I first got here to the station today, I told Matt that, you know, for guys like us, we know exactly how these, well, only after some research, I mean, because there's a few of them that are so complicated or so complex, and they kind of take an end around approach to parting you with your money, that it's hard to see right off the bat just exactly what that, and I'm going to use the word vector, because basically that the word vector means the path by which the scam is executed, and it's hard to see the vector of certain scams right off the bat, and then we fall into a false sense of security, or thinking that this isn't a scam, and we let our guard down. We basically don't, think about, I wonder if this is, this guy's legit, I wonder why they want, wonder why they want that information.
That's that's my first question anytime somebody calls me.
Well, yeah.
You know, I had a scammer call me last week saying that my payment for QuickBooks, was late and that I couldn't, go into the portal and just, update my, payment credentials. And they're like, "Oh, you need to." It's just like, "Well, I don't use Intuit products."
Yeah,
and I don't use. They just kind of, they're like, "Well, that's off script." I could see them giving their computer screen a dumb look in my mind.
Exactly,
and then they hung up.
Yeah,
so
I would say that I guess the first type of scam we're going to talk about is a telephone scam. I can't say they're the more prevalent. They really aren't. I mean, there's a number of different vectors. There's that word
again. A large part of the vector is wetware.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that term. Enlighten me.
Okay. So you have hardware, firmware, software, and wetware.
Okay.
So wetware is humans because we're made mostly of water.
Oh, okay, got it. All right, okay.
So they're the hardest one to update.
In other words, the space between our ears.
Yes,
is where the scam happens.
As technicians, we have many words for the wetware.
Okay, all right. I don't know. Wetware almost sounds as unsettling as moistware. But we won't go there, at least not on today's episode.
Yes.
The show. Some of the key characteristics of a phone scam, sense of urgency.
Absolutely.
You have just lost something, or you are about to lose something. That is,
right. So you get an email that says, "Hey, we just renewed your antivirus for $450.
Yeah.
Call this number because they want you to call them and be frantic and
exactly
and be like, oh, here, what card, you know, give them, then they're going to try to, you know, badger you for, mm-hmm. you know, your name, your phone number, your, you know, all the, any information that, you know, privileged information, such as your credit card information, to try to, you know, be like, oh, we're going to, you know, do this or, you know, or let's go out and, get some, iTunes music or some iTunes gift cards. Anytime a gift cards, yeah. anytime somebody calls you and says they want to, you to pay them in gift cards, just hang up.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. Actually, you kind of jumped the shark there, but I think that is a really good place to start, actually. We can just issue the order right now, or put it on your radar, that if the person you're dealing with on the phone, no matter how well-meaning or no matter how good of an argument they've got, if their currency in trade is gift cards... it used to be Green Dot gift cards. That was a big one. But now Apple gift cards are a big one. And so, you know, what they do is they have you run out and purchase $250, $300, $500 worth of Apple gift cards. And then you come back and you read them off the numbers. And then they can purchase products, which they can then sell. I don't think they can redeem for cash necessarily, but they obviously monetize that quite effectively because it's a very popular way to do it. So, yeah, I think Matt's on the right path there. I mean, this is a really quick and dirty way to identify when somebody is like trying to have their way with you is if they utter the words gift card or we need you to go out and get some gift cards, then just hang up right then, right yep. then and there. And so, you know, that's a real easy way to figure it out. You know, so sense of urgency, letting you know that you've lost something and looking for remuneration through gift cards. Looks like we got a call coming in.
Ringing through.
You're on with the geeks.
Well, did you see the cartoon in the paper today?
No. Enlighten
okay.
us.
Okay. There's an old guy and... dog and it's in front of the computer and the dog's barking and the title was "What's that? It's not a real email from my bank. I should have downloaded the attachment. Good boy."
Nice. So that's what you call a guard dog, right?
Yeah, guard dog. So my question is, because I do have a question. Hey, Louie, it's Peter.
I knew that, Peter. I was going to just say, oh, Peter, how you that. Doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Hey, listen, I have an old mouse. Should it be able to work on the computer that I got for Kim and or maybe my iPad? I don't know.
Okay, so first of all, external mice... well, actually, I guess you can get a combination Bluetooth keyboard and pointing device that'll work with an iPad or whatever. But as far as actually connecting a mouse device to an iPad, that's not a thing. Apple's been very good about not allowing any hardwired input devices.
Well, their keyboard does have a mouse on it.
Yeah, keyboards with a trackpad on it.
Yeah.
Trackpad or whatever. Yeah.
I hate the trackpad. I hate it. So this mouse that I have, it's wireless. It's not one of the old ones that you would plug in.
It depends on if it is Bluetooth or one of the proprietary wireless devices.
From Apple, I think, but... Anyway,
If it's an Apple mouse, you can actually Bluetooth. You need to join it by Bluetooth. You know, pair it with the iPad, uh-huh. Just like you would a pair of headphones or something like that.
See what it does.
Yeah.
Well, and when I tried it, it didn't do anything. So that's why I thought it might be a firmware or something else uh-huh. going on.
Yeah,
and. Even as I it's on now, it's got good batteries in it. I changed batteries,
mm-hmm.
and it just is circling on my iPad.
Did the iPad see it? I mean, when you went into Bluetooth, were you able to?
No, it sees Fabric Speaker and Peter's AirPods.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's see. Sometimes
is the mouse already paired with your computer?
No.
Okay.
This is all, like I said, this was paired to another computer that I'm not using, and I pulled it out of a box, figuring I got to figure out if I can get this going on either of these one, two things.
Yeah. One thing you can try, I've seen some of the Apple mice, you can get it to show up, kind of like enter a quasi-pairing mode by clicking it into the down position, if it's one of those that actually physically clicks down. So you basically click it in the down position and hold it while you're trying to pair it with the iPad. I've seen that. Speed. It may be a matter of that was the busy work that it took for me, like get me to slow down and wait for my computer to find it. But I've seen that work, so might want to give that a shot.
Yeah, so, and it may be hiding under other devices as well. Mm-hmm. In your Bluetooth. Yeah. It looks like it's supposed to work as long as you have iPadOS 13.4 or later.
Yeah, we're all updated.
Okay.
So cool. Yeah, I just thought maybe there was something with this software or firmware.
No, that would be it.
Even as I push it down, it's not doing anything.
Not showing up. Okay. Yeah. And then you might want to try kind of like starting from scratch, maybe restart the iPad, remove the battery. Is it one of the mice that takes a battery, like a AA?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, AA.
Yeah, so I'd remove the battery and put it back in. Turn it off and back on again, and just start over from scratch. And sometimes, a lot of times you'll have better luck. When you have a failed attempt, just wipe the slate clean and start from scratch. Yeah. So,
and then also see if there's a procedure, figure out what model it is and see if there's a procedure to like factory default the mouse just to make sure it's in a clean state.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That might be an idea.
Yeah, because the mouse actually does. It has a little firmware chip on it, and it actually carries around the identity of like the last computer that it was paired to. You know, I have this mouse that thinks it's Phil Goodman's mouse, and Phil Goodman's long ago left us. He's not on the earth anymore. I ended up with all of his stuff when he passed away. And I haven't been able to figure out how to get it off there, so it shows up all the time. So anyway,
all right, that might be an idea that I do the old MacBook that I have and delete it if it shows. That's what I'm going to do, Louis. Thank you. I'm going to get the old computer, the laptop up, and I'm going to see if it's with that.
Yeah. Yep. And then, then disconnect it in there in the mouse settings.
Yeah. Or delete it from that, the MacBook and see if that cleans it. So, yeah.
All right.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks for your help.
Yeah. Take care, Peter.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Okay. That was another lucky caller on GeekSpeak, 970-963-2976. And we will continue to melt your mind with...
Oh, got another
information.
One.
Oh, do we?
You're on with the geeks.
Well, hello there. My name's Jennifer, and it's getting to be.
Did we lose you?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just I'm listening to you online, and so I'm.
Oh yeah, yeah. Delay. Turn your radio down. That'll mess you up every time.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you guys offering this service. My son is saying that he wants a new computer.
Okay.
But the computer's a year and a half old. He's now a freshman in high school, and I'm wondering if I really do need to get him a new computer. His biggest concern is the battery, or the computer doesn't stay charged, whether it's plugged in or on the battery.
Uh-huh.
And that's that he sometimes comes up with this indicator that says low FPS.
Okay.
And I guess FPS stands for frames per second.
Yep. If you're playing video games.
Sorry. He's doing, Minecraft. His basic game that he does.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can tell you that this is not a scientific study, but the overwhelming majority of high school students that claim that there is something wrong with their computer. No matter what they say it is, chances are the video card on their computer is not capable of running the video games that they're playing.
But Minecraft should run on Minecraft should run on a potato.
Yeah, actually, of all things. But he may be trying to like play some other games that he's running into a FPS issue. So
yeah,
he's saying a negative on that.
Okay, all right.
So
got it.
The other side is
how do I know what kind of video card he's running?
On a Windows machine, open up, let's see here, where is it? It's, so hit the Windows key, type in system or about, and it'll give you a list of hardware in there on what it's, on what the computer's doing.
Mm-hmm. So the good news is that you can replace the battery in a laptop for, I think, generally I charge a half hour labor, which is $50, and the battery itself usually runs somewhere around $50 as well. So you can replace the battery in a laptop for $50 for $100 pretty easily, which is like a lot cheaper than a new laptop. And
it doesn't improve
your frames per second.
Yeah.
but it does. It will run for 2 to 3, 4 hours.
But the other side is if you have depending on how much system memory you have, if you have a bunch of things going on in the background, it may be worth cleaning up startup items that you don't need. Because what will happen is let's say you have a bunch of things going on the computer, the memory is already pretty full, and then you load even a small game like which one was it? Minecraft, and it will basically overload the computer, and it'll start moving stuff between the hard drive and memory, and it'll lag out. So if it like runs well for a few seconds, then lags out, and what runs well for a little while lags out. I would say that there's a good chance that there's probably some, you have too many things running on the computer, and Windows loves to do that.
Yeah. So
you have too many things running on the computer. Okay. He's saying that it's not that. So I'm wondering if maybe I need to upgrade his memory.
Well, sometimes that's possible. Some machines will allow you to do that. They're getting fewer and further between, over time, but, so that is definitely a possibility. And, the best way to, find out what your options are is, on the bottom of every portable computer is a nameplate that has the model number, and, just take that information verbatim and, type it into a Google window and say, specifications, type the name model number in and then say specifications, and you'll generally,
we did that yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, and so like we know it has 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay. And quite honestly, that should be enough to run just about any.
That should be enough to have a bunch of things running in the background and running a small game like that.
That shouldn't be causing a problem. So.
And so, like, if he wanted to learn how to like defrag, do you still defrag computers or how do you do, how can I teach him about cookies and caches?
Okay. Let's see. So let's start with defragging. Windows has pretty much built a defrag procedure into their standard system maintenance.
And once you're on an SSD, the whole concept is completely different.
Yeah, a solid state hard drive, which any computer purchased probably in the last 2 to 3 years has got to have a solid state hard drive. So that's not a thing. And then, let's see.
Very good.
And then your next question was about what?
Caches.
Oh, caches and cookies. You want to take that one, Matt?
Sure. So in most browsers, you can go to settings and let's see, where is it?
Go to history.
Well, that's history. You can go in there and, search for cache and just kind of see, see what's in there and just clean it up every once in a while. You can look at
that's pretty self-directed. So like he's not going to delete any of his hard drive system or any of the operating system.
No, if you're doing the stuff in the browser, the one thing that deleting your cookies can do, is it will log you out of your, let's say you're in, Gmail or something like that for school. anything that you are logged into, basically where you just open it up and you don't have to type in a password, that is being done by a session cookie. And it's going,
so the next time you try to log into it, it will ask for a password
because that session, that session code will not exist anymore.
And
you can see if the caching, I had a one client recently that had 50, that for some reason the cache got stuck in the program and there was 50 gigs of it. So it had used up, like 35% of their hard drive because the cache.
How'd they find that?
Well, their computer was full, and I had to. I ran a tool, since it was a Mac, I ran a tool called Grand Perspective, which basically will scan the entire computer and show, you know, basically build this kind of map that shows all these files. And they had this one giant file, and I was like, okay, what is that? And I was like, oh, the Chrome app is 50 gigs. So I had to delete it and put a new version on it, and then it started playing nice. But if the hard drive's full, that's a tool I use. It's called either Grand Perspective on Mac or Win Directory Stat is the one I use on Windows. And you can tell it to scan the C drive, and it'll show you all the files on there and what's taking up space. And so you can see, like, if there's, like, you know, 50 gigs of cache, you know, for Firefox or something like that, or, you know, what's taking up the space. You can kind of go through it and figure out what it is. But you do have to be very careful.
Yeah, I would say so. And I wouldn't attempt to do that myself. But if we were to look through that, and like if something was 50 gigs or above and it wasn't some sort of operating system or program.
Yeah, because it colors folders. Each folder has a color. And so you can like see that it's like if it's in the C/Windows, you just leave it alone. If it's in like C/users, that might be, you know, something going on with his account.
Yeah, he's been using this for a few years, so he's definitely has some.
Yeah. So, and then you just go in there and kind of see what's going on. You know, some people don't realize how many, you know, pictures they have or things like that, but I haven't run into that too much.
Yep.
Okay, because I guess he still has lots of memory available. It's just the frames per second thing, and the battery was the big one. You know, maybe it's worth
And that's what the battery thing makes me think, that there's something running in the background that's, you know, chewing up power. Does the computer get warm all the time? Or does a fan run more than you think it should? Or is it pretty quiet all the time?
No, it does not.
Yeah.
It's quiet.
So I don't know if you guys know about this or not, but if you right-click on the taskbar of a Windows computer, and there will be an option there called Task Manager, and you click on that. And in Task Manager, along the left, there is a series of icons, and one of them looks like a little speedometer. If you click on that little speedometer, it'll basically show you a list of everything that is launching, oftentimes in the background, like unbeknownst to you. It'll show you everything, every little helper program that's launching when the computer first starts up. And every single one of those is sucking up memory and processor power. So, don't just go in and just start disabling things. If there's anything, you know, like for instance, or like a really good example of one that you can definitely disable is iTunes Helper. You know, that's one that's very, very common actually. QuickBooks likes to put something in there that automatically launches like a half shell of QuickBooks at startup and, you know, just things like that, that you don't need. So definitely Google. If there's anything you're not sure about, Google it and find out exactly what it is. And most articles, when you Google things like that, it will tell you if it's safe to disable it or not. So you can, you know, basically in disabling, it's very self-explanatory. You just single click on it, and then there's a little button in the lower right-hand corner that says disable. So you can, and so you do that and then restart the computer. And like the very first tab in Task Manager that opens up will have everything in columns. It'll basically show you, it'll list all the programs that are currently running in the background, and it'll tell you what percentage of your available memory and processor are being chewed up by that program. So those are a couple great little under the hood tips that Matt and I could pass on to you.
Great because, you know, while he learned how to use different programs and whatnot, he has not learned how to, maintain a clean computer.
Yep. And that's something that in this day and age, everybody needs to know how to do. So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the call. That was a great one.
Appreciate being back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, likewise.
Say goodbye, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah. All right. Well, it's about time for the music.
Yeah.
Well, we got plenty of content for next time.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we at this point, we can talk about, it's not about talking about AI. We can just talk about scams indefinitely.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
We're using AI for scams.
If anybody calls you on the phone out of the blue and tells you that your computer's messed up or that something's going on, and just, first of all, just think about, is the product that they're talking about something that I even own? You know how many Mac users get notifications that they need to update their Windows license? And Windows and Mac are two different things. So you don't have to pay $300 to update your Windows license on your Mac. Just telling you. So, right here. Right now. So. All right. Go ahead, Matt.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
And we'll be back on the 15th.
All right. In the meantime, don't touch your knob.